Our first reading is taken from Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 to 14. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? The Lord search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. Like a partridge that hatches eggs it did not lay, are those who gain riches by unjust means. When their lives are half gone, their riches will desert them, and in the end they will prove to be fools. A glorious throne, exalted from the beginning, is the place of our sanctuary. Lord, you are the hope of Israel. All who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away from you will be written in the dust, because they have forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water. Heal me, Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For you are the one I praise. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading is from Luke 22, verses 7 to 20, the Last Supper. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." This is the word of the Lord.
So I'd like to welcome Max Wigley, who's going to be bringing our word for us this evening. Why don't we pray for Max and ourselves as we receive the word. Father, we pray, Lord, that you open our hearts, prepare us ready to receive this word, this good food of yours, Father. Bless us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, today's Remembrance Day. And as I was thinking about memory, I was just thinking to myself how that illness where one loses one's memory is probably one of the saddest things that we come across in our society today. Because dementia and Alzheimer take with them the person's whole personality. So that person that we've known is no longer there. They are physically, but their memory is gone. And therefore remembrance is a terrible thing to lose. Most of us find that our memories can be both positive and negative, formative for good and for bad, creative or destructive, possibly both. Some people are destroyed by their memories. Others find their memories are good and constructive and give them great joy and happiness. There's a real need in many of us for a healing of memories. We hear a lot about that in the world today, and especially in the Christian church, because many of us have gone through things and our memories have been left so much hurt and scarred that we need to have a ministry to help us heal the memories. That can be done through medicine and as well as by prayer. They all go together to help in that particular problem. There's a real need for those painful experiences of childhood in particular to be dealt with. So most of us need prayer for the healing of memories in some form or another. I personally still battle with experiences from my childhood which cause me pain and are destructive. We all have, I'm sure. We need each other to keep, to help us as we deal with those particular things. We need people to pray with us. We need people to listen to us. We need professional help at times. Now today, of course, is Remembrance Sunday. And for many, it's a sad time, a personal sadness at the loss of a loved one. And for the Jews in particular, there's the slaughter of the Jews that went on in the last war. I just find it so difficult to get my head around what was going on there. And I don't know whether you're watching that show. It's on tonight, I think, is another episode of, it's called World on Fire. It's dealing with the occupation of Poland by the Nazis in the last war and the fact that they were expecting the Brits to help them and they didn't. And they were taken over and the Jews, they had the Poland has the highest population of Jews, I think, in Europe at the time. And of course, the Holocaust took place. And when I was in Israel, a good number of years ago now, I went to the Holocaust Museum, which is something that you will never, ever forget if you go to see it. It's absolutely horrendous just to get your head round what was going on. And the memories that the Jewish people must have now at the slaughter of their peoples in their millions. Such things still occur all over the world, and we remember so that we can learn and prevent those things happening again. The trouble is, we never do. We never seem to remember. Oh, we do remember, but we can't seem to do anything about it. And that's where that verse comes in Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Or desperately wicked is another translation. Who can understand it, writes Jeremiah. Because human nature is flawed. Your nature, my nature, as good as we want to be, so often we're not, and our nature is flawed. It's twisted and it's biased with this tendency to go the wrong way rather than the right way. St. Paul writes in Romans 7:15, that wonderful chapter, as I read it, I think, this is me, it's about me. I don't know whether you do that, this is about me, but he says this, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And then he goes on a bit later in verse 19, for what I do is not the good I want to do, nor the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. I won't ask you to put your hands up if that's true of you, but if you don't put your hand up, you're telling porkies, because it's not true. Because that's true of every one of us. And that's me, and we need to remember that. And Paul finishes the chapter, he gets right to the chapter, and he's so exasperated, and he says, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, we need rescuing day by day and moment by moment, and receiving God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ our Lord is what we need day by day, moment by moment. We need to remember the pain and the slaughter of war, yes. We need Remembrance Sunday each year, lest we forget. Yes, we do. We need to remember loved ones lost, as I was listening to the names being read out by Will today. 19 years old were these lads who were being slaughtered. I remember when I was a vicar in Bradford, looking down into the congregation where we did the student work for the university. And so maybe Sunday night we'd have 50 or 60 students. And as they sat there and I looked down church and I looked at them, and as we say in Yorkshire, there were no but lads. There were lads, there were boys. And some of them were older than 19. Some of them were younger than 19. But there were boys, and these are the lads that were dying in the First World War and the Second World War. This is where we had pilots, flight sergeants probably of 19 years old, piloting Lancaster bombers with a crew of 7. We need to remember the slaughter that took place in those two world wars. We need to remember loved ones lost. We need to work for peace. It was said that the last world war, or World War I, I can't remember, it was one of them that where it said that it was the war to end all wars. Wish it was. Wars have continued. Paul says, who will rescue us? And then he answers this question, Jesus Christ, our Lord. There is no other way I know of. And that's not going to be completed until the Christ returns or we go to be with him. And Christ sets up the new heaven and the new earth. So we have a situation where humankind longs for peace in this world, and we strive for peace and justice for all people. Yet we fail to achieve it. We long for a world free from violence and injustice, but we've created an organization that we thought would help us with that. The United Nations will create the United Nations. We'll get all the nations together and we'll work together for peace. But that doesn't work either, because there's always a few in the group that don't want to peace or don't want it in that way, and therefore we never seem to get anywhere. It's a great organization. I'm glad we have it, but it's not the answer, because there's a problem with our human nature. And there's no cure to it. Yet as hard as this United Nations tries, it fails to create a world of peace. The world and its nations continue to fight and to kill and to argue and to steal and to lie and to cheat. And I don't know about you, I despair as I listen to the news, as I look at the world in turmoil. The world longs for peace but cannot seem to achieve it. Things seem to get worse. Our world seems in turmoil, but we need to continue to remember and to seek justice and peace, because justice and peace are part of the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, is what the Lord prays for, because that is what we are seeking to bring as Christians in this world that we live in at the moment. We're seeking justice, we're seeking truth, we're seeking peace. We're seeking to create a society where these attributes and these things are seen by the world we live in. And that's why people like Wilberforce and Shaftesbury and these men of our past in this country fought for truth and integrity and justice for people. They're just a few of the motivation of the Christian church in this country to bring about these things in our society. And we must go on doing that. Until we acknowledge the basic problem, we're going nowhere in the long term. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? So the world has a problem, our country has a problem, our town has a problem, our family has a problem, we have a problem, you have a problem, I have a problem. We have a twist in our nature that takes us the wrong way rather than the right way. And I find as a Christian it doesn't get any easier. I find it harder. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And yet we live in a world which continues and refuses to acknowledge that the basic problem is the human heart. Deceitful above all things and beyond cure. And so Remembrance Sunday is something that is good and right and necessary. Yet it's not the answer in that it acknowledges that we have a problem, but has not the answer. The other side of the coin, of course, in regard to remembering, is that it also gives great happiness, doesn't it? Remembrance, nostalgia, and self-indulgence. And to look back and enjoy times past with friends and family bring a great joy, a great feeling of well-being. Great feeling of happiness and fun and laughter and security and joy and peace. Those childhood Christmases. I was brought up in the war years. And I remember going to bed at night and putting my stocking at the bottom of the bed and the pillowcase. Waking up in the middle of the night, having a feel round. Feeling the stocking, finding an orange and an apple. Some chocolate to pennies maybe. This is the war years. Then going a bit further down and finding the pillowcase and getting the Rupert Bear Annual out of there. Anybody else used to get the Rupert Bear Annual? I love the Rupert Bear Annual. I'd have it today if I could, but nobody ever buys it me. Those times are real happiness. I remember when there was things that happened at college, when I was at college in 1960, I went to Durham, and there was one of the friends in our year, and I remember called Keith, and Keith Hallett. And if you're listening, Keith, talking about you, Keith Hallett, and Keith was from down south, as we said up north. And we were walking one day to a lecture, and he said to a group of us we were walking with, and he said, "My nan has sent me a sponge." And I'm thinking, what a funny thing to send. And he got a flannel. And he said, so I said, "I sent you a sponge." I said, "Yeah, good." I thought, lovely. And so we carried on, and a few weeks later, again, he said to me, walking down to a lecture, he said, "My nan sent me another sponge." I thought, it must be dirty. And those memories are precious. And I thank God for the choir trips when I used to be in the church choir, 22 men and 22 boys there were virtually, and the church choir. And we used to have an annual trip to Whitby. Fish and chip shops in Whitby were fantastic. They still are. And then there's music, of course, isn't it? That can create great feeling of blessing. Sometimes I find music, and I'm not talking about highbrow music, but just music that when my teens and early 20s was there, like the Beatles. And my kids bought me last summer a lady called Alexa. Have you met Alexa? You shout at her and she plays you things. And sometimes she doesn't play the right ones, but she does have a go. And I love to hear music like this. And it brings tears to my eyes sometimes as I remember. Music Can be wonderful. I remember in 1963 going through a really hard time at college and thinking, I need cheering up. So I went with a pal of mine to watch Cliff Richard in summer holiday. He was fantastic. I felt much better afterwards. So remembering important dates, birthdays, anniversaries. If you forget, you're in trouble. Forgetting can be hurtful to others, bad for business, costly in time and money. Society is full of reminders that we need to observe one-way streets and 30-mile-an-hour limits. Go at 35 and you get a ticket. Go at 65, they can't catch you. And so many things can be a blessing. Others can be painful. Childhood experiences, bullying, school, so on. So I want to draw together, as we come to a close, one event of remembering which gives us God's solution to the problem of the human heart and its sin and its deceit. And the solution Paul speaks about when he says, "Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." The scriptures in general are constantly encouraging the people of God to remember. If you read the scriptures, read the Psalms, they're always saying, remember, remember, remember. Remember God's faithfulness. Remember God's truthfulness. Remember God's leading. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, it says in Ecclesiastes. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And the theme of God's faithfulness in past days is a constant source of Jewish festivals that still go on today, which are celebrated each year and have been for thousands of years. And perhaps the most important one is the Jewish Passover, when they remember God's faithfulness in delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt. They remember the slaying of the Passover lamb as they gathered together in their homes, waiting to depart and flee from Egypt after the captivity all those years. And God, in a way I don't understand and fully remember, says, take up the Passover lamb, slay the lamb, put its blood on the lintel and the doorposts, and stay in the house. And when whatever happened, when the angel of death came over, the angel of death passed over, that's where we got how they get it, the houses with the people in it where the blood covered the lintel and the doorposts. And the Jews have celebrated the Passover meal every year since that time, because they don't want to forget God's graciousness in delivering them out of captivity. Every year from that time, the Jewish families share a Passover meal, eating bread and drinking wine as a reminder of God's provision, God's deliverance, and God's love for them. And just before Christ was crucified, he met with his disciples for the Passover meal, secretly in an upper room. And in that meal, Jesus identified himself with the bread and the wine. And he says, "My body broken is the bread that you eat. The blood that is, the wine that you drink is my blood shed for you." And he was talking about the cross that he was going to go to and die there. And John the Baptist identified Jesus right at the beginning of his ministry by looking at him and saying, "The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And Jesus here, right at the end of his ministry, just before he's crucified, is saying to the disciples, "I am the Lamb of God." Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you remember my death until I come again. And that is a meal that the church has celebrated every year since, every week since. In the Last Supper, in that upper room, Jesus identifies himself as the Lamb of God, his body broken, his blood shed. And Jesus takes the bread and the wine in 1 Corinthians 11, another passage that relates this happening. And it says, "The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it And he said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Because Jesus is our sin bearer. He is the one that Paul was shouting about at the end of that passage in Romans 7. "Who shall deliver me? Jesus Christ." He is the one. The sacrificial lamb shed his blood for you and for me. And he says, every time you drink this wine and eat this bread, remember my body was broken for you. My blood was shed for you because I love you. And as you feed on that bread and that wine and it nourishes your body physically, I want you to feed in your heart by my spirit on that bread and wine to strengthen you and help you and nourish you so that you don't forget. Because by my spirit, as I come to live in you, when you believe and trust in me, I want to nourish you through this taking of the bread and the wine. So that service has been central to our church down the centuries, that God laid on him when he died on that cross and shed his blood. God laid on him the iniquity of it all, the sinfulness of us all was laid on Jesus. He took it. He bore it. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. We must always remember this. And since Jesus rose and ascended, this remembrance has been central to the company of God's people. It has various names: the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper, the Holy Communion, the Eucharist, or Thanksgiving. And this service is central to our faith because it reminds us of the central message of our faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. And the Holy Communion service, the Lord's Supper, symbolizes this giving of the answer to Paul's words and cry at the end of 7. "Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, for his death on the cross, for the shedding of his blood, for the breaking of his body." The Holy Communion service, the Lord's Supper. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, yours and mine. And in the communion service, we come together as God's people, the new Israel. We remember his body broken and his blood shed. Some refer to the attending of the Holy Communion service as making my communion. It's not. It's making our communion. We come together and we kneel or stand, whatever it might be, together at the Lord's table. We are the body of Christ. We come with one another. We kneel together, or we take the bread and wine together. And in this very precious service, before we reenact the bread being broken and the taking the wine, we share the peace together. You know the pieces? The pieces, the pax. That's what it was called in the early days, the pax, the kiss of peace. And when the church met together in those early days and were about to take the bread and the wine as they ate together and shared it together, they greeted one another with the pax, the kiss of peace. Because before any of us can come and kneel together at the rail of the Lord's table or stand there and receive the bread and the wine, we must be at peace with one another. And in the communion service that we have in the Anglican Church, we have the ministry of the Word at the beginning of the service, and the preaching of the Word, and the reading of the Word, and the praying, and the interceding. And then in the middle we have the pax, where we get together, and we greet one another, and we shake hands. It's taken us years to get that far, so we've forgotten about the pax, the kiss of peace. But we greet, it's the same thing, we greet one another. And we say, "The peace of the Lord be always with you." And if you're at loggerheads with anybody who's going to be at that table and you refuse to do anything about it, you shouldn't be taking communion. And that's why we have the peace. And we come after that and we gather together and we take the bread and the wine and remember and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. As I've grown older as a Christian, this service has become more and more special to me. The richness of the liturgy has become very special to me. The service is a constant reminder of God's love for us, a constant source of nourishment as we remember that God in Christ came down to this world to die for us and to take the rap because he loves us. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Father, thank you for this truth. We pray that you will feed us tonight and help us to continue to remember, continue to seek to bring in your kingdom in this world in which we live. In Jesus' name. Amen.